following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. Here we're in Studio A. For the moment, I should say. This is episode 261. And this is the 5 years. The anniversary has happened. I know this because I just paid the bill. Yeah, that's how I mark it around here. I see this math gets complicated, but apparently 260 episodes comes up to five years of this show, which we talked about last time. And of course, changes. There happened, and that's what we're doing. Those of you that are looking for the blues content will be able to find it at the Radio Memphis on demand thing on our website at radio-memphis.com, and also on our Podbean page, radiomemphis.podbean.com. You'll be able to find it all there. None of that's going away. We're just shifting it from this show to the other show. So what's the deal with this show? What are you doing, Rick? What's all this about? We're doing. You know, I figured after all this time of doing, you know, of doing the show and pulling stuff from the blues thing, it was time to really get back to the roots of what this program is about. And that's talk, and it's talking to people and you know, slimming it down a little bit. It was getting a little soft in the middle, you know what I mean? So I sat down and I've been working on this for a while, but I've made a list of some people that I want to bring onto the show. Assuming that I'm not going to mention any names right now because they may not happen, but we've gotten, you know, we've got some good stuff that's coming, hopefully. And the way I look at it right now, if every one of these guests on my list, decide to come in and do the program, we'll have 6 months of the show easily. It's just that easily. I don't know, you know, a lot of it is, of course, you know, scheduling and stuff. There's a lot of mechanics that go into this sort of thing. Hopefully not too terribly difficult, but you know, you gotta try and stay on top of it as best you can. But this time out, if you were tuned in last week, if you were listening last week, I mentioned that we're going to be sitting down with our general manager, Diana Fryer, who's made several appearances on this program in the past. We've talked a lot about the industry of music, and we've talked about a lot of things in general, and she's just great fun to sit and have a conversation with. And we spent a little bit of fun together, and we talked about the radio industry and technology and all of that fun stuff. So we're going to get into that. We're going to have some fun, and we've introduced a new element to the program where we play a little game that I host. It's a game that no one loses. It's called Playing Favorites. You'll hear about that. That's all coming up. So stick around, kids. Coming up right up out of the break, it is our conversation with the lovely Diana Fryer, next from Radioland.
Hey, CBD users, you need to know about thegreenmancbd.com. We carry leading national brands at great prices. Brands like Green Roads, pharmacist formulated CBD and hemp oils, Diamond CBD, Relax Gummies, Liquid Gold disposable vape kits, and more. You can visit our store in Memphis at the Broom Closet, 546 South Main Street, or order online at thegreenmancbd.com for free shipping in the U.S. on all orders over $50. Enhance your life with CBD and hemp products. Must be 18 years old to purchase CBD products.
So as it happens, episode 261 has happened. This is technically the first episode of the fifth year of From Radioland.
Wow.
And Diana Fryer is sitting here with me.
Yeah.
We were changing the whole thing.
So I heard. So, I kind of got bread. I didn't realize that this was actually going to be a special version.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been spending a lot of time retooling. We want to make some changes with the show. And mm-hmm. I talked about it in previous episodes about, you know, what we've been doing. We've done it for a while where we would take stuff from the blues show, and then because there was so many wonderful elements and moments that we captured down here on Sunday.
Right.
Nights. that I needed to get it out there, and the best way through efficiency, because sometimes the web guy can't get it done in time.
Imagine.
that what I needed to do was just run it through from Radioland.
Right.
And it's been remarkable. But you and I had chatted after I mentioned it to you. So I think it's time to kick the blues thing out of Radioland and put it in its own thing.
Right.
Which is actually going to be part of the entire radio station thing for, you know, for Radio Memphis.
Absolutely.
And those of you that are looking for that can find that go to Podbean and look for Radio Memphis On Demand.
Mm-hmm.
You go to Spotify. You can go to all sorts of fun stuff.
Yeah, you can go to iTunes. You can go to Google Play. You can go to Stitcher. You can go to Player FM.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Right. All the usual suspects.
I got an email yesterday. By the way, this is Diana Fryer, ladies and gentlemen.
You've already told him this.
Okay. I got an email from Apple just yesterday.
Okay.
That said that we now have access to their podcast analytics.
Really?
I haven't looked at it yet because I've been a little nervous to look at that. But
really?
But here's the cool thing. They are now they've got Siri set up where you can go, if you have an iPhone, and say, Siri, play Radio Memphis On Demand.
Oh.
And it'll do it. Or play Radioland, and it'll do it.
And it'll do it.
And it'll do it, yeah. Because they're now tying Siri into the podcast thing. So for people that are looking for podcast things to listen to,
right,
they can just ask Siri.
And okay.
She may get lippy with you, because Siri tends to get a little lippy.
Right.
About certain things, but... But anyway, that's this whole smart speaker thing is way cool.
It's gotten kind of cool. I mean, it's gotten a little bit crazy. You know, it's so funny because, I was at a friend's house. They got one particular room that had Google Home. There was another room that had, you know, something else going on. And it was one of those where, you know, there was a, you know, it was like, if you want this one, go here. If you want this one, go here. It's all in the same house. It was kind of weird.
Yeah.
And there was some type, I will have to say, though, there was some type of thing that was going on. Now, this is based upon, mind you, you know, this is not against the company. This is against, you know, your internet service providers and stuff, if they're going through, like, you know, some type of construction work, or they're laying down stuff or whatever. And so this friend was asking Google, hey, you know, Google, will you tell me, you know, blah, 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 blah. I forget what even the question was. And it was like, silence. And I kind of, and I was so funny because I was like staring at her, go, would you piss Google off? And she was like, you know, hey, Google, you know, tell me whatever something. One of it was like, she was looking for something that, you know, she was trying to purchase. And it was like, we're not working right now. Try again later. And I was like, well, damn.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that area was having a lot of construction done, and they were actually laying down. They were laying down some of the newer, you know, some of the newer high speed lines and stuff, which I totally got. But it was funny that they could at least answer, "Yeah, we're having trouble now, so yeah, check in later," versus just not work. You know, this is how smart stuff has gotten.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it's becoming a little more. Dare I use the word invasive?
You do. You can. You
because
did.
I don't have a smart speaker set up at the house, and I don't know that I ever will. Because of the privacy issues that has been going on, Facebook has really been getting kicked in the nuts here of late over that Facebook portal thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see on your Facebook feed, there's like, you know, hey, check out the portal. And if you open up the comments and read through it, and everybody's like going, no, F you, we're not going to have this thing in our home that is spying on us because of all of the shit that Facebook got caught with their hands in the cookie jar with over data and all of that stuff.
And, yeah, I mean, so... My setup, you know, I have my computer, actually it's in my room.
Right.
And, you know, and I have this like whole Command Central thing I got going on, and it's so fun.
Yeah, that's a way to live, man.
Right. You know, and so it what's so funny is that there have been times where I go to lay in bed and I sit for a second and then I get right back up and I have this need to like throw a towel over the computer screen. Or throw it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it's there.
Well, I mean, it's just like, you know, and a lot of people, most people, because everybody is so connected, you know, you 9 times out of 10, you're going to sleep and you've got your phone next to you. It's on your nightstand. It's in your bed with you, you know, whatever. I mean, and people do.
It's my alarm clock. It's
right. And it's so funny because got the screen, you know, you got your little camera portal on there. And I'll be laying there and I'll roll over and I'll see my phone and then I'll put my pillow over it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I
or
just
put it in the drawer, you know, put it in the bedside.
Well, I mean,
it's
just
drawer,
I just need to cover it.
Yeah.
I just need to cover it.
It can still listen, but it's not going to.
Okay, whatever. See, that just made it not right anymore.
Well, think about it. If you have the Alexa thing is a good example.
Mm.
And you've seen them. They're about the size of a can, you know, a large can, and it's sitting on your counter. And it's just sitting there innocuous, just doing what it does.
Right.
And it's designed for you, and those of you that are in the vicinity of your device right now, I'm going to say it, and it's probably going to trigger it. But if I say, hey, Alexa, it springs forth to life, and it says, how may I help you?
Sure.
Or whatever. So it's listening the whole goddamn time.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's listening for its cue words, it means it has to be listening to everything else that comes around it.
Yes.
I have an iPhone, and there's a feature on it that if it's plugged in while it's being charged,
right,
and you say, hey, Siri, or hey, Google,
right,
it'll spring forth to life. It only does it while it's charging, and there's been times I've been sitting in here on the air during the morning show, and where you're sitting over there on the we're in Studio B, by the way, the production desk over here. I'll have the phone over there charging, and I'll be on the air, and I'm talking, and I'll say something that sounds like, hey, Siri, or hey, Google, and it'll go, yes, may I help you? Because I hear it through the headphones, and I'm like, holy fuck, what the hell is this all about? Because, I mean, we're no strangers to having strange things happening into the studio.
Of course.
But when your own device,
mm-hmm.
the thing that you're quite literally joined at the hip to,
you are,
and you're carrying this thing, you feel horribly naked without it, and then it's now become ingrained into everything that we do. I can see the positives, but I can see a lot of negatives to it. And
right.
being the private person that I like to be,
right.
I don't know that I want my phone to be doing these things. It's bad enough that we just bought a television a couple of years about two years now.
Mm-hmm.
We had to get a new one. And we wound up getting a Vizio.
Okay.
Which is it's not a bad TV. And
right.
For the price point, it was perfect, you know.
Right.
And it has smart TV capability in it. Around the same price was the Samsung, right? And the Samsung, what steered me away from it, because the wife was like, why don't we get the Samsung? It's a nicer, it looks like a nicer TV. And I said, it is. It's a much nicer television. But if you read the terms and services of the Samsung Smart TV,
mm-hmm.
it tells you that it's listening to everything that's going on in your living room.
Oh.
Even while it is powered off, because it has the voice-activated channel search. So you can sit there and say, hey, I want to watch something on Netflix, or you know, I want to see Frankie and Gracie on Netflix, or I want to watch this movie. And so you don't have to have the remote; it's voice controlled. And I told her, I said, I don't know that I'm all that comfortable with that. And of course, Joe was like, "Oh, think of the convenience! We don't have to worry about losing the remote." And I said, "Yeah, especially when the cops come pounding on the door, going, so I understand you ordered some weed,
right?"
I don't know that I want this. Or if you happen to have a spirited discussion or an argument in the living room, and Netflix now with its algorithms decide, hey, we found these shows that might fit your situation.
And all of a sudden you see these shows come up.
Yeah. Because Facebook is real bad about that as it is.
You know, it's funny that you bring that up. I was talking about this earlier when I was on the on-air Radio Memphis Around the World. And I was one
Saturday
of
Saturdays, 1 p.m. Central, kids.
Yeah. You and Chumley, man. Plug, plug.
Plug, plug, baby.
Plug, plug. It was a thing that I was doing on finding context to describe your music. And what you're just throwing out here right
mm-hmm.
now, right? About, you know, we used to have the thing about going to, you know, the record store and having somebody, you know, discover it, you know, through that channel, having somebody really kind of go into play about what it is that, you know, they were maybe, you know, searching for based upon, you know, suggestions and things like that. And then it was like, you know, word of mouth and you know, and it was talking about the actual personal experience, you know, human experience about being able to, you know, find your music. And what's the funny thing is that this one chick that was doing this article on Soundfly, she made one remark, and it sat with me all day today about everybody's gotten kind of glommed on about the playlisting thing. You know, like if you're on Spotify or if you're on all the other, if you're part of this playlisting and stuff because you're going to put it in front of all, you know, it's going to get all these plays, yada, yada. And what was so funny about all of that is that when that winds up happening, you kind of get the power taken away from you on how you're able, what context you're able to put, what your music is about and what you're about, and you wind up losing power over that.
Yeah, it's thinking for you.
Well, and one of the things about it that it's going to, all right, I think that this is what this means, therefore I'm going to lump it with this subject, or I think that this is what this means, so I'm going to lump you with this idea. And it's like, that could be totally off base about what it is that you were doing. And so now you've got all of these, you know, systems, and you've got all of these little appliances, and you've got all these things that are thinking, you know, well, you know, 8 out of 10 surveys says that if you feel like this, this is the choice you're going to make.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And so now I'm going to tell you what this means. And, you know, and when you're talking about something like music, you know, music is such a personal experience that now it's dumbed it down so much where everything is just straight across the board. It's become very robotic. It's become very
sterile. Yeah,
and now you've got these things with and it's like having, if like you ever watch those sci-fi shows, and you know they have their robot, you know, counterpart, or they have their, you know, whatever shows even growing up that you watch, whatever, they had that, you know, the robot whatever that was part of the family and stuff like that, and all they want to do is like be human.
Oh, Data from Star Trek: Next Generation.
Yeah, right. You know,
his whole thing was about becoming. Mm-hmm.
Twiggy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Buck Rogers. I mean, but all they want to do is, like, you know, be human. And
9000 from 2001.
And they can't.
No, they can't.
They never can. You cannot teach these things. You can't teach algorithms. You can't teach computers. You cannot teach these people how to be human.
2 weeks ago, for Science News during Radio Memphis in the Morning, not AM Central weekdays. It's the last thing I do before I get off the air at 2 p.m. Central weekdays. I forget even what university it was. They didn't teach actually nothing. They built a robot. It was a simple robot that sat on a table, right, and it had an arm, and it had a grippy thing on the end of it, and all it could do, it could rotate, bend, pick something up, and put it somewhere else. That's really all it could do.
Right.
And they hooked this thing up to a machine, and it had a learning algorithm attached to it.
Okay.
And they asked this thing to develop what it feels it looks like. And after 40 hours, it became self-aware. And all of a sudden, these robotic technicians had this oh shit moment, like, okay, now we've just created a self-awareness algorithm for a machine.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I'm on the air going, this is a horribly bad idea.
It is a bad idea.
Because ethics, there has to be an ethical consideration when you're
dealing with... You've seen
Terminator? Oh, yeah.
Right, I'm just throwing
I'll be
it out
back.
There.
The whole thing about the idea that they can... And the reason why they did this was that if the robot itself had become damaged or needed repair, it could repair itself. It's not that far of a leap to repairing itself to realizing that they don't need people and they could just eliminate us. You know, get rid of the dude in the white lab coat because he's a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm. And I don't have to go to him.
I don't have to go to him anymore because he's just in the way. Mm-hmm. When I first started automation in radio and when I was at Clear Channel, they sent me to Denver, Colorado.
Right.
And they sent me to this classroom environment. I was there for like a week to learn how this system operates. And this jackass, who was one of the engineers, he stood there and he's to all of these technicians, he says, our system neither requires nor requests human intervention.
So why are we here?
And that was my question. Was like, well, I'll be down to the bar. Clearly, I'm not needed. But he said, once it's set up, it can run radio without any human intervention. And my question was, what was the point? And they immediately said, overhead.
Like, so, okay, let's just cut the soul out of it. This is why radio sucks so bad, is that y'all suck the soul out of it. Now, having said that, Radio Memphis does run a good chunk of our time in automation.
Well, that's music.
And it's music, and, right. and we tell it what to do.
Right.
So it's playing songs randomly.
Right.
Out of a rather large library.
Mm-hmm.
And it mixes in identification things and promos and commercials and stuff like that, just in news. So right. we've got an algorithm, if you will, that runs that. But by God, the second that thing begins to panic, we got to fix it.
Well, that, I mean, but the
and
real.
I prefer that.
But, and, when, you know, of course, at any given time, I mean, when we're ready to, you know, pot up and, you know, and do our thing. And,
we can
you know,
stop it.
So. And we, you know, and we go about our day and we have our shows and, yeah. and we talk and then we kick the music back on. And, I mean, it's, you know, the way, you know, radio was always kind of meant to be. And I think that.
It did lose its soul, though.
It did lose its soul. I mean, for
we're trying to bring it back, and it's a hard fight. But
it is very hard. Well, you know, in talking on, you know, on all sides of you know, as far as, you know, the business, you know, entertainment, music, and, you know, and whatever, you know, everybody has gotten so tech, you know, so tech driven about things, and it's hard not to. Okay, you have to, because of the progression of where we're at. You know, as far as world society and things, and that part I understand, but you know, the reliance on tech to make you more creative is the downfall.
You cannot extract human beings from the equation.
No.
And I don't know if I told you this story. So the immigrant works at a venue here in town, right?
Mm.
And a local radio station, one that I'm intimately aware of,
mm.
booked a remote.
Oh.
And they sent a jock out there.
Oh.
And it was for, I think it was for a Tiger basketball game or something,
okay.
something like
that.
And
they know. Do that.
As,
yeah.
as you do.
Yeah.
They were doing a thing. It was like a Friday night. It was like, you know, a Friday afternoon. It was like a happy hour thing. Come out
right.
to this place. There's two for one deals and drinks, blah, blah, blah.
Right,
blah.
Right.
And we're going to watch the game together. We're going to do cut-ins. We're going to, you know, have, it'll be a big time. And it was like from 6 to 8 or whatever it was. This poor bastard, I'm not going to name him because it wasn't his fault.
Okay.
He goes out there. They set up the remote. He's at the table. He's doing his thing. He's doing his cut-ins, and everything is great. Nobody showed up. Not one human being. And it that speaks to, like I said, it's not his fault.
No, that's not his fault.
It's not his fault. They've been promoting it on this particular station
mm-hmm.
for God knows how long. Probably, I would say, inside of a week. You know, probably the 5-day run-up, maybe 7.
Right.
They'd probably teased out. They probably had some little drawing door prize thing. They're going to give away the bait that would bring people to the club and,
right.
and watch the game.
Right.
And literally nobody showed up at this thing. After all of this promotion on a 100,000-watt FM blowtorch. So as I explained to the immigrant, I said, or as I posited to her, I should say, what does this speak of? Is it the fact that the audiences now have lost their entire trust in radio because they know that it's voice tracked or faked? Or B, when it's live, they can't tell the difference, so they don't know what to believe? Or C, no one's listening at all? And I think I'm leaning a little toward the last option.
Right.
Here, that I think that a lot of, because look, Morning Drive, and we've talked about this before, I don't do the 6 to 10. It's just not going to happen at Radio Memphis.
It's not going to happen with you, no.
No, it's not. I do more of a midday show. We call it Radio Memphis in the Morning because somewhere on the West Coast, it's way early in the morning.
Well, sure it is, and it's your morning.
And it's my morning. So right. so that works, and we get a lot, and you're the way you sold me on it, because you're the one that put me in that spot, was there's going to be a lot of people that are sitting at their desks,
yes.
or they're going to have gone through the transition of the house to the gig.
Yes.
If that's where they're working at home.
Yes.
So they don't need that drive time thing.
They don't.
And there's a lot more science behind that, because we've seen over the past several years, audiences, people who consume some type of audio programming passively, are typically during that morning drive commute, whether on a train through the downtown New York thing, or they're stuck at the 501 on the freeway in LA,
right.
they're listening to podcasts. They're listening to something like this, or they're listening to Marc Maron or or maybe even satellite.
Well, I mean, you know? People are taking the opportunity because they get to be very selective of what time they have available to now listen to what they want to, number one. But let's also remember something. You know, we have come to a time where the world is so populated. You know, do you not remember that when people got jobs, I mean, the average time that if you were, you know, when I call it a good job, when you finally got that job where you were going to be at for a minute, you know, the average drive time was anywhere from 25 to 30 minutes. Yeah. More and more every day now, you hear about people trying to find something that's around the corner, close to their house. There's a walk thing. You know, there's a thing where I don't have to commute so much. So, you know, they don't allow themselves that opportunity, you know, to really, you know, invest, you know, in those shows like they used to before. Sure. Because you're talking about the targeted audience that you know, radio was really ultimately kind of looking at would require them to sit still for at least 15 minutes to get their quarter marks.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's not a thing now. Ooh. Now in this time. Ooh. Because there's so many options, there's so many availabilities, and there's so many things that they can kind of get into as far as the dynamics of where we are as a culture and where we are, you know, socially, you know, and how we exist now. So now you've got, but then you've got all these other things that are available. And it's like, okay, I've only got 10 minutes, or I've only got 15 minutes, or I've only got 30 minutes or whatever. And I want to listen to this, or I want to listen to that, or I want to, you know, whatever. So there's, you know, there's something.
I remember in a board meeting, not a board meeting, but a staff meeting.
Hmm.
At when it was Clear Channel at the time, which is now iHeart. And they had all of us in the room, and the general manager was there, and they brought in these consultants,
mm-hmm.
these dinosaurs,
mm-hmm.
and they admitted at the time, and this is how out of touch it was, radio's biggest battle was going to be fought between what was being broadcast for everybody to consume,
mm-hmm.
versus the iPod, when the iPod was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I said in the meeting, I said, the iPod is the least of your concerns. There's more behind this.
Mm-hmm.
You've just equated radio competing with the CD, the compact disc, because it's just as simple for somebody to just drop it, throw a disc in their player in their car, and away they go. The menu choices are becoming more varied,
mm-hmm.
and we deal with that every day.
Well, sure we do. I mean, and you know, being
we just stick to our guns and be.
All right. Yeah, well, and being available, you know, being available in the spaces that that those people traffic, you know, yeah. to get to the other things is key. But that's not the main key. And that's where a lot of these other companies, a lot of these other, stations, and a lot of these other, organizations and stuff, that's where they kind of miss the boat, you know, in that it's like they think that if you throw out the cast net, you know, that you'll be able to, you know, scoop it in. If you happen to be in the same channel of waters, you know, it'll be fine. You know, this lends itself to programming, content, you know, and everything else that's still king, you know, as far as what it is that you're putting out there and what it is that you're, you know, promoting or supporting or what you're performing or using for entertainment, you know, on that aspect. I mean, you kind of have to really kind of, you know, deduce it down. Everybody is screaming for this, you know, is screaming for attention. And, you know, the biggest thing, and you've always said this, you know, and it's always been kind of a thing you try to ingrain in everybody here on the deal as far as consistency, you know, and being there and, you know, and being, you know, and being that constant, you know, piece that everybody can kind of rely and ultimately, you know, go to. And I still stick to my guns that, when you do get the sense because of, this goes back to the upbringing and where the heads are of the ones that we're dealing with right now, in that for a second you feel like that if you don't pay for it, that you're not going to get everything, you know, kind of a deal, right?
Right.
You know, and at the same token, I mean, I'm still sticking to my guns, is that once you've locked yourself into, you know, a subscription, and once you've locked yourself into something that you've got to pay for, you know, you are slave to whatever they feel like they want to put together for you.
Oh,
that,
sure.
That's now sure. not your choice anymore. It's you paid for it, therefore, so you've kind of like, okay, you're going to be fine and settle for whatever it is they put in front of you. You know, and you know, these type of platforms that we're talking about for this, you know, are supposed to be just available, and that's just available.
That's yeah, there it is. I mean, this is all of it.
Yeah, it's available. This is where you come.
Right.
You know, if you keep coming back, well, you like us or you hate us, but you keep coming back. Either way, you keep coming back, you know, just to see what's going on, you know.
Well, to be fair, we've seen our numbers go up and they go down, and they mm-hmm. just do that, you know. Hence was the idea of, like with this show, was pulling the stuff I was doing on Sunday nights out of it. Let it go live where it needs to be, which is with Radio Memphis, and spend time doing what I'm doing now, which is talking to people like yourself. Dang. I have a list of people.
Oh, okay.
I've been working on that.
Okay.
And I'm waiting to hear back. So as time goes on with this show, I'm not doing anything that's anything new.
Mm-mm.
It's none of this is new. It's about personalities. It's about people. It's the human element, and re-interjecting those people back into this medium.
Mm-hmm.
I think is important. What you do on Saturdays with Around the World, you've here of late, you have really started to reach out to various people.
I have.
To talk to them. You're playing music, which is what it's there for. But at the same time, let's talk about the people who are making that music. Let's talk about the people that are producing it and engineering it and making those shows work and, you know, getting out into the industry a little bit. You had a talk when we taped this with Scoville.
Robert Scoville.
Mm-hmm. Robert Scoville. And this is a guy who's been on this program many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
Not on this show, but on the radio station.
Right.
And he's a font of information.
Yes. Yeah, he's a fantastic guy.
And what you get from that is that and I think this is what's going to happen. It's going to take and we're starting to see now that all the crappy podcasts and shows are starting to fall away.
Right.
The really shitty radio stations are starting to go away. We're starting to see the longevity of it, and it's coming back to people.
Look, we're like those rock bands, okay? So everybody I've talked to, you know, that have really started kind of making it, you know, and started like, you know, getting over the hump, or they got picked up or whatever, it's like they're it's a magic number. It's like that you think they're an overnight success. You just heard about them because they're all of a sudden everybody wants to, they're selling out shows, and you're like, oh my God, how lucky are they? They're new. And you talk to these guys or these bands or whomever, and they're like, okay, yeah, we've been doing this now. It's like 9 or 10 years. We're almost there, man. We're like those bands. We're right there. We're right at 9 and 10 years. We're right there.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, when you talk,
we keep saying that, you know. And what's really funny is that
eventually we'll be right.
Well, I mean, we sit in this fishbowl.
Yeah,
and we don't
see what's coming in.
Nobody's looking. Yeah,
it's all this really weird, distorted vibe of what we see in the world. You know, like, and back to your point there about, you know, you talk to an artist and you go, man, you guys are, you know, it's almost like you're an overnight success. And they go, man, that was a long goddamn night. Because they were like 8-9 years. Like you said, mm-hmm. they've been working it and working it and working it. And finally somebody caught it and went,
making mistakes and then coming back around or, you know, doing what they needed to do to make those changes and things like that. And, you know, there has been a thing for me that everybody, and not that this hasn't been any different and not that this has not come up, but it's just been more apparent. You know, starting going into this new year, everybody really kind of paying attention to as far as, you know, what it is that they're good at and what it is that they're talented at and what it is, you know, why they're doing the things that they're, you know, they're ultimately doing. And, you know, it's become a thing that, and I always have to be careful because I sound like I'm being an asshole. You know,
don't be careful. Be an asshole.
I don't want to be an asshole.
What was it you were saying that for your mantra for 2019 was just because you can doesn't mean you should?
That is my mantra. Just because you, yeah.
I love that. I think it's incredibly accurate. And this is the perfect time to lay that out there.
Well,
in this day and age.
It is now.
So don't worry about being an asshole. Just be a fucking asshole if you got to be an asshole.
You know, and it's you know, okay, not everybody can be a sound engineer. Not everybody can be a drummer. Not everybody can sing. Trust me, not everybody can sing. You know,
and not every one of you are radio people too.
No. I mean, but and it's one of those things where, you know, you do have to find, you know,
you got to find your lane.
You got to find out where it is that you are really, really good at. Now, mind you, I would love to front a band. I would love to do that.
You'd be great at it.
You know, because I'm like all self-conscious and stuff, and like my throat.
Put the boots on. Throw the boobs out.
I've done it.
Put the hair in a thing.
Done it. I mean, I got the outfits to prove it.
Oh,
I mean,
Lord, yeah.
You know, and it's, I mean, and you know, I have such respect, because I understand that there's, you know, and there's a, you know, but there's, but that's what it felt like. It felt like work because I felt like, you know, I had, you know what I mean? It felt like I had to keep up to with a certain level, and I had to be a certain way, and I had to be a certain look, and I had to have a certain sound, and I had to whatever.
Several years ago, you were in Los Angeles with NAMM, mm-hmm. right? And you went to the Women in Rock thing?
Yeah.
And you, was it the Bangles?
Mm-hmm.
And you got to hang out with those girls for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean as far as, yeah, with all
but,
of them.
But you got to see that, the... You got to see the backside of that,
sure,
and talk to these women about what it, you know, what it's like to be in this business from that perspective, and, well, yeah. and it's an enormous amount of work.
And it is, and I mean, with business aside, I'm just talking about just being a singer and being on stage and
that's,
whatever.
That's business, though.
You know, it is, and it when creeps you're talking into about
yeah.
when you're talking about. When it feels like there's so many things I have to keep up with and there's such work and I'm worried about this and that and the other, there are people that wind up doing this, man. It is natural. It is flow.
Yeah, it just comes to
it
them,
just
yeah.
It is what it is because they are being who they are. You know what I mean? They are
Bob Dylan.
They are who they are. That yeah. you know the ensemble, you know, the semblance of what they're doing, everything is who they are. There's no act. That's who they are. That's why they're original. That's why there's only one of them. Because that's who they are. You
that's
know?
Why they're that successful.
And you know, and yeah. that's why I'm always, you know, such a champion for, you know, for those people that have, you know, that it when it's they're being who they are, naturally what they do, you know, and it sounds really, really shitty, but you know, when I could look at something and go immediately, that's marketable. That's, you know, and this.
Yeah, yeah. Because I mean, you know, when you see it or hear it. Yeah.
Right, right. And so.
There's it and then there's shit. And the yeah. difference is, shut up.
Right. No, like I said, I enjoy singing. You know, I enjoyed it very much. You know, at the time period that I got to do it for, you know, I was very, I was very good.
All the karaoke stuff and having a big time.
No, I mean, I did stuff before then. I mean, I stuff with bands. I did stuff growing up. I did stuff competing.
You're on a record.
I mean, yeah, I'm about that too. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, yeah. Whatever. I was bullied.
Phil.
I was bullied.
You bastard.
And actually, no, that was actually, you know, the engineers and, you know, and everybody.
Was Jason that dragged you into that?
Yeah, oh, yeah, because they needed stuff to fill out, you know, and things like that.
Oh,
and
Phil had nothing to do with that, really?
Not really, no. I mean, he started it, though. And then, of course, then you got Brad that's all in the mix of things. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, well, you know, Dave can sing, you know. So can Brad.
Yeah, but see, that we're talking about an album, Reaching Reverie.
That's the name of the album.
Is
yes,
the name of the album. Mm-hmm. And it's Phil Berger. What's his band's name again?
He's got several things going on, but
yeah.
Going.
But anyway, this is a new thing that's mm-hmm. out ish, mm-hmm. and there was parts that a choir was needed. It was mm-hmm. there were gang vocals, as they call it, mm-hmm. and it was what was cool about that. I got to sit on some of it because I don't sing, but I got to see some of the production of it,
right.
And y'all had assembled all of these voices from all of these different styles.
Yeah, all the different bands.
You had rock singers, blues singers, you had all the stuff, soul singers, you had all the stuff. And,
yeah.
And y'all were doing this really weird, complicated mm-hmm. stuff, and it was fun. It was, yeah. And I heard the record, and it's just incredible.
It was fun. But, you know, but that's when you're doing things like that as an artist, and that's who you are. I mean, that's why there's always... And I had this is my Buddhist moment for 2019. Take it for what it's worth.
Gird your loins, kids.
I would get, you know, I would get so mad and get so upset when people were like, I said, do you not realize you're being a dumb or you're being an idiot? You know, and of course, you know, they're artists and they're musicians and stuff. Well, no, they should know better. You know,
there's no excuse for being stupid.
Right. Yeah. Well, at the same token, Let me defend them for about 2 seconds. When you are who you are and you're in that moment and you're doing what you do, you know, that's what you're about. So this other side of business, this other side of you know, understanding as far as the impact and things like that, you know, are not on your forefront of what you're focusing on. It's not on the forefront of what you're paying attention to, because your energy, you know, your existence is you. You're about music. You're about your guitar. You're about singing. You're about reaching out to somebody. You know, you're about telling stories. You're about whatever, you know. And then, you know, the true ones that are very successful at what they do is not going to, I'm going to write this hit song so I can make $50 million.
Yeah, no one ever sits down and says this is...
No!
Yeah, I'm going to write a hit.
No, you're going to write something because you love it. You're going to create right. something because it came from, you know, whatever was going on through your head.
Look at Stax, prime example.
Right.
The stuff that they did for the blip on the radar that is music. I mean, it was a pretty big blip, but none of those people said... Hey, we're just going to sit down and write a tune, and we're going to have these guys, we got this session band that we work with, and they're, you know.
Right.
And it's Booker T and the MGs that's, you know, right. that's in the middle of it. Nobody's ever, they try to write the hit, but they you know, you get lucky.
Right.
It was the old gag that, had I written a one-hit wonder in the 80s, the late 80s.
Right.
I'd be set for life. It's like hitting the lottery. And that's really what it is.
Well, sure it is. I mean, but, you know, we've had these conversations, you know, on the station and on air and even on these podcasts and at one point on Radioland of when those things were happening at that time. I mean, there were people that were getting pulled in to help make that happen. There were session players that were helping to make that happen.
Oh, yeah, it's not a one-person effort.
No, and that's what we've come back around to, in that when you've got, you're an artist and this is what you've got to pay attention to, you know, and unless you're savvy and unless you're just, you know, you're multidimensional in that sense, and no offense, there's a lot of people are not, you know, to be able to focus, you know, and be able to split. Let me say this way, to be able to split their energy like that, because if you split your energy like that, then the 110, you know, that needs to be like playing your guitar or, you know, playing your drums or piano or whatever is not there. You know, when you're having to split everything up and you're not focused, if you're able to focus and you let somebody else that's what they do, take care of it, then you're going to be good. Everybody is now in that moniker. It's like, do it yourself and make it all work for you and make it all happen.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And to an extent, you have to be to a certain level. But in order for you to grow, in order for you to go further, you have to be 110% focused on what it is that you do best.
Well, on that, let me ask you this, and this is kind of a groovy way to kind of tie it all back together. We talked about the missing of the human element.
Mm-hmm.
In technology.
Right.
I don't think it's going to last. I mean,
I don't either.
I think, you know, too many people crave the attachment to another person. You know, when I was a kid, right, late night television to me was a thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I always felt like I was being, like if I watched like Johnny Carson or David Letterman.
Right.
I always felt like I was in a very familiar space, and it was a comfortable space to be in. I'm watching some guy carry on a conversation with somebody else, and like in their living room.
Right.
You know, it just felt comfortable. It felt natural. I get that today from shows like Spud Goodman,
right.
which we run. Which if you listen to it all the time, you get sucked into it.
Right.
Or what the Gossiping Heifers are doing, even though it's kind of clinical and somewhat sterile because it's just those two voices with no real world around it.
Right.
Or the things that happen here in this studio, you know, we create these spaces and we invite these people to come into it. What do you think is going to be the thing that's going to turn it around? I mean, I think we're nowhere near peak artificial intelligence, but it has to have its place. We've talked about this along those lines. Where does live radio and recorded radio, or on demand, they have to fit in the same universe together? I think we found a pretty good way to make that happen. We're doing it now.
Right.
But where does that connect? Where does that real connect come back?
Well, I mean, that's going to be, that's going to be pretty much, you know, on the hands of those that will finally decide that those who know talent and know entertainment and know the music business are allowed to do what they do best. And that those who know how to do technology and make things faster, brighter, and you know, and more magnificent, and let them stay, you know, stay in your lanes, okay? You don't need somebody who runs a tech company have a record label.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you're always going to be slighted on your choice.
Right.
As to whether or not it's going to be beneficial for you. And, you know, I'm glad that you brought up Robert verbatim. Remember when we sat down and you know, we did the whole, you air checked me.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that whole conversation. And I was telling you about why I love what I do. I love the business. And I do. I love the business. I love everything about it.
You have to, or you wouldn't be anywhere
near
it.
And, you know, he was resounding. I mean, it was I told him that I had such mad love for him after he made that statement, because I was like, my heart just was swelled. So I'm like, I have such respect for that guy. I love what I do, and I want to know that there are people there that are doing what it is they're supposed to be doing. Tech and music, they have to, it's like the same idea of having to share the table because of where we are, you know, in technology and human nature, you know, in a sense of what we're relying on as far as for convenience and for communications, you know, and things like that. But when you've got, like, and this is ego trip. This is personal driven, you know, stuff. This is, you know, somebody who got beat up on the playground when he was 10 years old because he was a nerd and he was a pin pack and wearing son of a bitch and, you know, and was made fun of all throughout high school, finally got in a power play position and decided that he's going to be the reason whether or not somebody has a wonderful life or not. Yeah. I need those people to get out of the damn way.
Yes. Right. Could not have said that better myself.
You know, and as far as the talent is concerned, again, there is more to talent than taking a bunch of music lessons, a bunch of vocal lessons, and saying that, okay, I'm now a singer. You know, inherently, you do have to eat, live, and breathe this. Inherently, you have to trust the universe is going to slide into where you are in life. All right, and kind of accommodate to what you've got going on, because you are truly, in every way possible, being who you are. Not what somebody told you to be. That's when it'll turn around. As far as the deal with tech and stuff like that, when you stop depending on technology to make you sound better, and it turn around and you make technology sound good, you're onto something.
Yeah.
You know, if you're able to, you know, we are a prime example, what you're able to do and some of the stuff. Look, it's fantastic what we can get and what you personally can get some equipment to do, which is almost like horrendous, you know.
Horrendous is a good way to put it.
Yeah. It is. But in order for that moment to happen, you have to have a certain level of knowledge about what it is that works.
Yeah, there's limits. Yes.
And what will work. But you also bend it to where it's supposed to work in the paradigms of what you know is correct. That is not a personal, you know, a personal thing that you know that you're trying to benefit from, other than the fact that you are truly in love with what you do. You know what sounds good. You know what's supposed to happen. You know what radio is supposed to sound like. You know what radio, the essence of the word radio. You know, radio has become a real dirty word. To some people.
So is podcast.
Well, that too. You know.
But yeah, radio is a dirty word. It's upset a lot of people. It's upset me.
But you've taken, like I said, we use technology. We are using technology right now to do what we're doing.
Sure. We couldn't have done this 20 years ago.
No, you know. Not but, like this. No. But at the same token, I mean, you wind up using it in the parameters of what will still present itself accordingly, what will sound accordingly, what will, you know, pique the interest, you know, of the ultimate end, you know, end all be all, which is the fan and who's listening.
I'll leave it with this. My old friend Bob McLean, who was he worked for an oldies station here in town. This is a guy. He was a Vietnam vet. Mm-hmm. He worked for the Armed Forces Radio Network for a little while as well. He knew Adrian Cronauer, mm-hmm. The Good Morning Vietnam guy.
Right.
Which a little neat little bit of trivia. When Adrian Cronauer cycled out of the Southeast Asia, you know who replaced him? The guy who's the host of A Wheel of Fortune, Pat Sajak.
Oh.
Yeah, Pat Sajak is a Vietnam vet. A lot of people don't really understand.
A lot of people don't really know that.
And Bob was part of that. But I remember talking to Bob one day over a cup of coffee about, because he'd seen it all and done it all. And he's an old radio guy. And I think he's still on the air up in Virginia somewhere.
Right.
And I said, what happens when all of this is just, you know, all this technology comes in and just sucks the humans right out of this thing. And he goes, I don't give a shit, Rick. If I have to do this show door to door, I will. And that's what we're doing now.
That's brilliant.
It's brilliant.
It's brilliant. You know how to do what you do because that's what you do.
That's right.
There's somebody out there that sings and that's what they do.
They play guitar. That's what they do.
There's somebody out there that knows the business. They know how to run a label or they know how to be an an A&R person.
Sure.
That's what they eat and live and breathe, and that's what they do. There's somebody out there that knows how to take a raw project and wrap it up in a pretty bow and present it to a bunch of people to make them fall in love with it. PR, that's what they do.
But that PR person couldn't sing a note if they
and they shouldn't.
They shouldn't.
They shouldn't.
On that, we're gonna pause here for a second. We're gonna come back. We're gonna do one last bit.
Okay.
We're gonna add. I'm adding a new thing to Radioland.
All right. This is interesting. I'm riding the rocket ride with you.
Well, this is a fun thing. We're gonna play a little game that you can't lose.
Wait, what?
Yeah, we're gonna play a little game you cannot lose. We get accused of playing favorites all the time, so we're gonna play favorites. I'll explain it when we come right back.
Okay.
Hi, this is Reverend Oma from the Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop. The Broom Closet is your one-stop shop for all of your metaphysical needs, such as candles, gemstones, herbs, gifts, and more. We now also stock CBD oil, vape kits, lotion, and edibles. The Broom Closet is also host to monthly workshops, rituals, and drum circles for those interested in conscious living. The Broom Closet is the only place to get your cards read by me, Reverend Oma, or one of our other amazing readers. Discover the Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop in historic downtown Memphis or online at thebroomclosetmemphis.com. The Broom Closet. Let us help you light your path.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
It's an old friend, a good friend too, Mr. Austin Onick, joins us. Austin, how are you, sir?
Good evening, and thanks for inviting me on for tonight. It's good to see you and doing all this with Radio Memphis and everything. So thanks for inviting me for tonight.
Well, yeah, you've always been a big supporter of what we've been doing, what we're working on over there, and I couldn't thank you enough for that. It's always good to have some friends in the right places, you know.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And what you've done with Radio Memphis after the corporate ton of bricks, man. Management that landed on you over at the other radio station, shall we say. It's nice to see the amount of time and effort, passion you put into this. That's been very inspiring. And to promote that, especially as a Memphis thing, that's what I like about it. So congratulations to you on that.
Well, yeah, thank you. It's been a long, crazy haul, that's for sure.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
So there you go. That's what's coming up next week here on the old program, the new and improved version, I guess, or new. I don't know about improved here from Radioland. One of the things that we've done, and I mentioned it before the break, is we'd like to play a little game. And it's really, like I said, it's a game you can't lose. We've been accused in the past of playing favorites, and I thought I would have some fun with that.
I'm so scared.
You know, nothing to be scared of, because the idea here is if I ask you, say, like, you know, what's your favorite bleh, you would give an answer, and it can't be wrong, because it's your favorite thing.
Okay.
See what I mean? So, for example, what's your favorite style of music, Diana Fryer?
My favorite style of music.
I know we have so much of it.
That's so unfair because I delve in so many different things. I mean, and that's that depends on what mood I am in.
That's fair.
My favorite, it's not a style, but one of the key things about music that I enjoy is that if the singer can wail, if they can sing their ass off,
because
I'm a singer.
Yes, you're a singer.
Yeah, so I like to hear somebody that can sing.
That makes sense. That's totally fair.
Yeah, so it could be metal, it could be rock, it could be blues, it could be pop.
It could be anything, but man, if they put their whole...
That person better bring it.
They better bring it on. Mm. Right on. Given a chance to have your perfect lunch, what's your favorite lunch?
Lunch?
Lunch. Middle of the day meal. What turns Diana Fryer's crank at the lunch table?
Man, I'd eat a steak.
Yeah,
I would. I would so throw down, man.
Throw out like a New York strip or I would throw out
on a strip, a filet, a rib. Yes.
How you like it cooked?
I like my cooked stuff cooked medium rare.
Right on, sister.
Mm-hmm.
Steak for
lunch. Yes, sizzles and everything.
Yeah. Given the opportunity to travel, what's your favorite destination? Whether you've been there or not.
Whether I've been there or not, I would probably want to go to Thailand because I have not been there.
Yeah, because
that is half of what I am.
That's your family.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. Very simple. I like this. This is a fun question because I think it tells a lot about people. what's your favorite flavor of ice cream?
My favorite flavor of ice cream is Jamocha almond fudge.
See there, it says so much.
What does it say? I have no idea. I didn't even stutter.
Jamaican?
Jamocha. Jamocha. Jamocha almond fudge.
Jamocha almond fudge.
Mm-hmm.
Right on.
Yeah. I love almonds. I love chocolate fudge. You know, Jamocha's got that coffee. It's got that kind of...
You're a coffee girl.
I'm a coffee girl. I know. If you guys know anything, if you follow me, you know, as far as on the social media, especially on Instagram and stuff like that, you know, I'm a coffee girl. I'm a double bag batch girl.
Double bag. Mm-hmm. Finally, what would you consider to be like... This is more of like what would be perfect, but like a favorite date, an evening, when you're away from all of this garbage, away from the day gig, away from the night gig, away from the radio station, you're out with somebody. What's your favorite thing that you would do?
Fish.
Go fishing.
Fish. I love.
It's not like dinner and a movie type of thing?
Have
a steak somewhere.
With
some Jamaican almonds.
See, my throat's now starting to close up all of a sudden. When you talk about when you start talking about, I mean, you know, is it
Netflix and chill?
I mean, it depends on who that person is. I mean, as far as you know what it is. I mean, everything that I like, I mean, is always been surrounded by, you know, some type of creative art. And so if you're talking about, you know, if it's something that's music related, you know, yes, I would love to do that. If you're talking about something that, you know, about movies or whatever, yes, I would love to do that. But if you're talking about getting completely away from everything I've got going on and it is turning everything off, you know, it is going out, you know, I have, you know, the one or two opportunities, you know, through some close friends. And my best friend especially, you know, our favorite thing that, you know, he and I would do would just, you know, go fishing. And that was something we grew up on that. My mother taught us how to do that. And there was always something that if something was going crappy or the world was going too fast or things were getting so out of line and so out of hand, you know, her statement had always been there was nothing that a fishing trip couldn't fix. Now, when you're young, that sounds like the dumbest advice on the planet. It's like, what do you mean? I mean, it seems like we're wasting a bunch of time. We're out here in the middle of nowhere and there ain't nothing going on. Well, you know, when I began to really enjoy fishing, and I do, you realize that you get to sit out there and you get to think and you get to kind of unplug and, you know, the world stops for a second. And if I'm with that somebody, you know, it's awesome to be able to really enjoy that moment. And it's not like you have to have that conversation. You just enjoy each other. You don't have to entertain each other. You don't have to, let me say the right things or whatever. It's just, you're in that moment.
It's unplugging and disconnecting for a bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you share this. And when you're able to share that space but not have to be obligated to entertain the space, that's the bomb.
Hell yeah. I can see that. You know, I was just thinking we should start a new dating site. You know how they got Farmers Only for, you know.
Why would we do that?
No, seriously.
Because we would get blamed.
No, you know how Farmers Only is, right? You know, you see this.
No, I don't, but apparently you do.
There's these commercials. They're hysterical. The talking horses and the guy's like, he's out in the middle of nowhere and he can't find a date. Anyway, and a wizard shows up and he goes, oh, you need Farmers. And the jingle is horrible. I'm thinking we should start one for people who enjoy fishing and call it the Tackle Box.
You know, that's actually brilliant.
You know, for people who enjoy fishing, because it's clearly not just a man's thing. There's ladies that enjoy it as well.
That can go so many different ways. And
you're damn right it could. That's why.
And it could. And some of them are not good.
No,
they're not good.
Get your hook set at Tackle Box.
Right. You know. And what's really funny is that everybody assumes like if you're like you're fishing, you know, there's this like this total. And I know people that may when you finally get to listen to this this edition of Radio Land with Rick. That comes out every Sunday.
Thanks for the plug. Available where sold.
You get this vision of, you know, old boy in a wife beater, you know, it's this redneck thing of an environment and stuff. And that's not the case. There's so many different, you know, so many different people and styles.
Well, of course, it's not like the guy in the wife beater with the red man who's kissing on some girl and she takes his chewing tobacco with her tongue.
And her fish is bigger than his. Right.
Right. It's getting into the zen of it, if you will.
No.
So.
Honey, will you fillet my fish for me? Well, then you're the one.
Right, whatever. You clean your own catch.
Honey, can I see the length of your worms?
Oh, my. Yeah, but you can play with my rod.
No, stop. Okay, see this way. This, no, I don't want to be any part of this. I don't want to. This is disgusting. So you're taking what was one of my favorite. Well, you asked me what I would enjoy the most, and now I feel. Just,
I have not sullied it. By
you any have. Means. It's just disgusting.
On that, this show is done. We'll see y'all next time. In the meantime, please take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. For God's sake, stop shooting each other, all right? I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.